This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Janet Davidson. She is director of the play The Country House. It's a play by Donald Margulies, which opens on November 13th, this coming Friday, and runs through the 29th. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
And we're joined by actors Debriana Mancini and Lucinda Marker, who play two of the lead roles in this play. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks
Great
for having
to be
us.
Here.
So this play, The Country House, it must have been written fairly recently.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a play, and at first I was like, oh no, a play about plays, a play about writers and actors, it's going to be so meta. It's really good. It's
oh,
a
good.
Very interesting drama about a family in which one of the children, adults, has died, and she's sort of a character who is present by her absence throughout the play.
I play her. That's my part.
as director, you play the ghost, and her mother and daughter and husband and brother are all characters in the play, and everybody almost is very successful and very accomplished, and one not so much, and the drama sort of revolves around what happens when everybody comes back together.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, who cares at first, who cares about these people's problems, but it's one of those plays in which everybody has a different point of view. And as a reader, I haven't seen it yet, but as a reader of the play or as an audience member, you sympathize with every single person in it, which I think in itself is a huge accomplishment.
Yes, I think that's a true story. It's so interesting how each person is on their own trajectory, and then they all come together for this one moment, and trouble ensues.
Trouble ensues. And so some of the drama is about, what does it mean to keep your artistic integrity?
Yes, which I think is really poignant in Santa Fe. I mean, I think a lot of people who are in the arts struggle with that at some point in their career.
And it's also about film and TV versus acting, which is the more virtuous art, so to speak.
Yeah, the theater.
The theater. And your character, Lucinda, is kind of the matriarch, the incredibly accomplished actress who is now older and is kind of dealing with both her, I mean, everybody looks up to her, and at the same time, she's not the ingenue that she used to be.
Far from it.
And I think there's a line, it's like, you eat ingenues for breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, there are parallels in my life to the character of Anna Patterson. I haven't been on stage in quite a while. Anna Patterson hasn't been on stage for about a year, and I've had been dealing with grief in my own life, of course, and Anna is certainly doing that. And I have to admit that I have a bit of the, to me, theater is the truest art form as well, and so I can relate to that quite well. And of course, being older, and those ingenue roles are far gone, so I can relate to that as well.
Right. And your character, Debriana, Nell, is an interesting character because she is the girlfriend of the widower. So we mm-hmm. have this character who is absent but present in everybody's lives. She's dead, and her husband almost immediately goes out and meets you.
Yep.
And gets engaged.
Oh, how strange that a man should do that.
I can't imagine.
Yes. And everyone in the play, there's other relationships that come to the fore as I arrive. So it's been, it's an interesting difference for me, because most of the plays I've done in the last couple of years haven't been ones where a lot of people are in love with me. So this is an interesting change of pace. And she's a very interesting character, struggling with the industry, with her love life, with getting older herself, even though she's not in the same position that Anna is in. It's also a commentary on women as they age out of, 25 in this industry, that there's nothing left for them. And so you see it in different age groups through the female characters in the play. It's a thing that we all struggle with if we're in the industry for any length of time.
It's also very much of a kind of contemplation of fame. It's like there's mm-hmm. one character who's named Michael. His character's name is Michael, and he wanted nothing more than to be famous and wealthy as an actor, and then he got it, and realizes...
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
And, this whole question of like, what is really worth doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this really fascinating character named Elliot, who's the brother of the woman who died, who was the one who never quite made it. And you don't know, and I'd love your interpretation. Like, do you think he never quite made it because he just didn't have the goods, or was he just distressed?
He's damaged, I think. Damaged in a way that a lot of us are from, living in the shadow of people who were famous and can't quite get his footing, and just lacks a certain self-confidence. I don't know whether I've really ever decided whether he just didn't have the goods or he was just too damaged, even if he did, to get past where he's at now.
Yeah. And he, in the play, and we don't want to give too much away, but he's in the process of writing a play, and you spend time during the play wondering, is he going to redeem himself?
Yeah.
This might be where he pulls it out of the hat. And so we will leave it to our audiences to show up at the play and find out what happens.
Hopefully, yes.
Mm-hmm. And J.D. Garfield plays that part. He's just wonderful in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a young woman, the daughter of the one who died, and she's a very, very strong and very smart character.
She is probably, the smartest
she's
one in
the
show?
She's the smartest one in the room.
And the most adult of everyone.
Of all the adults.
Absolutely. I don't know how she got that way with her mother and father, but I'm assuming that
she
my part,
herself.
Kathy, the dead woman, was really quite loving.
Yeah.
She probably figured out early on somebody had to take on that role of being the
grown-up.
I've
seen that happen in families a lot. When the kids have to raise themselves, they become adults very early, and they just figure it out.
Right. And then when this character, were she real, is 40, she might start acting out.
Yes.
Well, I'm not so sure that these characters aren't real.
Ah, tell us more about that.
Well, I kind of sit there and go, in my days in Hollywood, I look through all of the indications of who he's written in here. And I'm not so surprised that he had some role models that he was actually writing about in this play. So that's my own private conclusion.
Right, which is now public, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Don't
but
listen.
I won't say who they are.
So Donald Margulies, tell us about the playwright.
Well, he won the Pulitzer in 2000. For Dinner with Friends. He's done quite a few films, actually. And so he walks those two worlds between the Broadway world and the film world. This play started at the Geffen, which is, everybody knows, that's my favorite place. And so I watch what the Geffen does. And it was a co-production between the Geffen and the Manhattan Theater Company. So it opened at the Geffen, and the minute it did, I said, I'm going to keep my eye on this. And Blythe Danner was the star of it then. And then it moved to New York, to the Manhattan Theater Club. And it closed last November. So I immediately got the rights when they became available. And we now are the regional premiere. It's been in very, very few places so far. And part of that is there are six perfect parts. There's no small part. I mean, well, we know that cliche about no small part, no
only small actors.
But the reality is there is no small part in this. Mm-hmm. Every single person in this play has their moment. And so when I finally read it, I knew that I would not do it unless I knew that I could get these six actors. And I knew exactly the six actors I wanted from the beginning.
You already knew?
Oh, absolutely.
So you didn't even have auditions? You just
Well, we had auditions because the producer wanted, Walter wanted auditions. And I he hasn't lived here for a long time, and he wanted to see what the actors were doing. But I knew who I wanted and just kind of pushed it that way. And fortunately, he saw it my way. And we have those six actors that I first thought about. And I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. It's a wonderful cast.
Now, did you know intuitively at the beginning who would have chemistry with each other? Because, I mean, there's so much chemistry going on in this play.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't look at that. I only knew who was absolutely right for the roles. Mm-hmm. And I knew in being right for the roles and being good actors that they would come together themselves. Sometimes I feel like mom. They're like little children on the stage. And I say, come on, let's get this together, you know, because they really all like each other.
Well, JD and Todd and I go back to when we were small children.
Is that right?
Yeah, we've known each other many, many, many years.
And you've been acting many of those years together in the same place?
We all came up together. We haven't. JD and Todd and I just did Seriously Funny together a few months ago with Ron Bloomberg. But, yeah, we've known each other a very, very long time. So lucky for Janet. I don't know if she knew that, but we all have a long history.
Very interesting. Yeah. How do you think that affects the production?
Oh, my gosh. It's an amazing gift because we don't have to spend any time building trust with each other. That part can go right away, and we fall right into each other's arms and totally trust each other on stage. And we're so lucky to have Lucinda with us. I just adore her. And I've known Tad a long time. And Katie, what a find. She's just a...
She plays the young woman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Debriana and I went down to Madrid to see a show at the Madrid Tavern or whatever it is down there. And lo and behold, Katie was in it. And although we were freezing down there watching it, we both looked at each other because at that time I was thinking of putting her in Rapture, Blister, Burn when we redid it or going to redo it or whatever will happen with that. And but then I got the rights to Country House, and I said, "Oh, she's perfect for Country," and she's perfect.
So
I mean, I couldn't ask for a better cast. But I must say, all the shows I've done here, I love the actors that are here, and we have some absolutely wonderful, wonderful actors. It breaks my heart when they leave, like a couple of them have done lately. but still, in all, they're just wonderful. And that's really a gift. And in a funny way, when I read it and realized how brilliant these parts were, I thought to myself that this was really a gift to the Santa Fe actors, all of them, the ones that will come see the show and the ones that are in the show. That it's, for me, it's just a gift to them. I wanted to do this for them.
I would just like to interject briefly that from the first read-through, I was blown away by this cast. I thought this Janet Davidson knows what she's doing when it comes to putting a cast together because everyone was perfect.
Now, Lucinda Marker, we're talking about the play The Country House. Tell us a little bit about your own background. You said you haven't been acting for a while.
The last full-length play I did was about 18 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Here in Santa Fe.
And she hasn't skipped a beat.
So what's it like to get back into it?
Well, at this moment in my life, it's absolutely wonderful. I was distracted for many years making more of a real living, and my career took over, and I just couldn't possibly do theater. But right now, the timing is perfect, and I love being in this particular production. It couldn't be better.
And it's a great part, the part of Anna. Janet Davidson, have you seen a production of this play, or did you know about it and then read it?
I only knew that the Geffen had done it, and they had done Good Poop People. They'd done a lot of it, and they'd done Slow Girl, and I love what they did. So I've tried to follow what they do. I never like to see a play or before I do it. I don't really want to be influenced, because part of my creative process and my fun is finding what the set looks like, finding what the costumes look like, finding all of that myself. So that's, no, I don't.
The play, The Country House, opens at El Museo Cultural this coming Friday, the 13th of November. And it's Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinee at 4 o'clock. Very civilized. The 4 o'clock Sunday thing.
We like that in the winter.
I love when people do that, yeah. And it runs through the 29th of November. If people would like more information, they can go to redthreadsantafe.com and buy tickets. You can also do it by phone, 800-838-3006. Janet Davidson is director of The Country House by Donald Margulies, and Debriana Mancini and Lucinda Marker are actors in the play, a bunch of other great actors as well. Anything you want to let people know before we go?
You know, the last minute, if you just want to show up at the door, we'll find a seat for you.
Excellent. Good. And it's a nice place to see theater, El Museo.
Yeah, you got restaurants around there.
I think it's a great
there,
Thanksgiving
parking, everything.
Show.
It is.
It's a good thing to do
it
when
is.
You
yeah,
have family
true.
Visiting. It's,
yes.
It's yeah. not too heavy, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it as a maybe a family outing during the Thanksgiving holiday.
So the last weekend of the play is the day after Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us,
Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.